A young man traveling in Europe one summer told about following experience that he had. He said, "My most bizarre travel fail was a detour I took when I was supposed to board a cruise ship from Copenhagen, Denmark. Knowing the prices of taxis in the city of Copenhagen, I booked a train ticket to get across town and to the port based on some loose research I had done. So instead of reaching the port in Copenhagen where I was supposed to board the ship, I ended up in Malmo, Sweden, 26 miles away. I thought there was something wrong because the train was taking way too long to reach its destination. But when I saw the Swedish flags, I realized that I hadn't just ended up in the wrong port city. I was in the wrong country." That was quite a detour for that young man. There's a song about a detour, a song that was written way back in 1945 by a gentleman named Paul Westmoreland. And the song is titled "Detour, There's a Muddy Road Ahead." I don't know if anybody has ever heard that song. Detour, There's a Muddy Road Ahead. But in the song, there's this line. "Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, oh, these bitter things I find, should have read that detour sign," by Paul Westmoreland. And the song tells about his regrets for some of the choices that he made throughout his life. We all face choices in life, and often they're accompanied by warning signs. Sometimes we heed those warning signs. Sometimes we choose to ignore them. The choice is usually ours. A detour, however, isn't always a good thing. I had a detour on the way to church today. I wasn't paying attention on I-43 and got off at an exit where all this construction is. And all of a sudden, I was being detoured. But thankfully, it was a simple detour, and I was able to get right back on. But a detour isn't always a good thing, and it's always not always that easy to rectify, to correct it. A well-planned detour might help us escape from a dangerous path that is filled with peril or difficulty. However, there are some detours that keep us from staying on the correct path, and they can get us into trouble. So how can we clearly see the wrong kind of detours in our lives as we strive to stay on the path towards God's kingdom? How do we spot those wrong detours that can take us off that path? The Apostle John records an event in the life of Christ back in John chapter 6. I'd like to turn there, John chapter 6. John 6, and let's begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, miracles which he performed on those who were diseased. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, to test Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Verse 14 tells us that because of this great miracle, many people began to realize that this man might indeed be the Messiah that they were waiting for. They saw this sign, and that began to convince some of them. But we know that their conviction to follow Jesus seemed to be more based on his miracles than on his teachings. That's what they seemed to be most interested in, and followed him, many of them, only because of his miracles, something they could see. But now, verse 15. "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Christ saw a sign, as it were. The crowd wanted immediately to make him their king. He must have heard, saw the reaction, realized what they wanted to do, and he immediately left. Later, when he was on trial for his life, notice what he would tell Pontius Pilate in John 18 and verse 37. John 18 and verse 37, when Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." He would tell Pilate that he was born for the role of becoming a king. So why not take the opportunity that was presented to him with the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 or more? Why not let the people make him their king at that time? He was born to be a king. Of course, the answer is in the previous verse, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So, yes, there was a sign that the people wanted to make him a king. But he knew that his father's plan required him to fulfill that role at a later time, not at that immediate time. And to take the role of king sooner than was planned would have been to detour, would have been to take a detour from what was right and what was necessary. He was not willing to take that detour. Again, how can we recognize whether a detour on our path in life is a good one or a bad one? How do we make that decision? I think it's necessary to take a few steps back and think about the big picture of what's going on in our lives, what God is doing, and consider just the big picture. Start with, we've always lived in this world. Nobody here has lived in any other world. We live in this world. We were born into it. We live all of our lives in this world. When we reach the end of our physical lives, we die in this world. We've never known anything else outside of this physical life. And when trials happen to us, we often say, "Well, that's life." Maybe we've used that expression, "That's life." It's just the reality. It's just the way it is. It's the life we know. We have become so used to this world that this is normal for us. This world. It's the world we live in. But is this age really normal? Is it normal? And if so, from whose perspective? Maybe it's normal from our perspective. Is it normal from God's perspective? Let's think about for a little bit an infinitely long timeline that just stretches an infinite distance. And in one direction is eternity in the past. All the way in the past, as far back. Of course, eternity has no beginning, but in that direction, on that timeline, would include all the events of the Old Testament, all the events of the New Testament, all of history up to this point, on that timeline stretching all the way back, eternity in the past. It includes the creation, the heavens and the earth, and the angels of God on that timeline. Going back even further than the creation of the angels is the creation of the plan that God and the Word conceived, that eventually would create time itself. That line then stretches an infinite distance in the past. But then in the other direction, going in the other direction is eternity in the future. What's on that line? Eternity in the future. Well, there's the end of this world's governments. That's going to happen at some time in the future. There's the removal of Satan and the beginning of the millennium. That's on that timeline in the future. Even further beyond that is the Great White Throne Judgment, the resurrection of many, many billions. Beyond that, new heavens and new earth. Continues on that timeline, eternity in the future. And what lies beyond that? We don't really know. And our imagination can only kind of catch a glimpse. Various scriptures in the Bible that give us a glimpse of what God has in store for all eternity. So there's all of that eternity in the past. And there's eternity in the future. And of course, God sees and knows all of that. But now let's focus our attention on where we are right now on that timeline. Where we are at this time. This age where we live as physical human beings. This age is just a small sliver time on that eternal timeline that stretches in the past and future. This age in which human life has existed for several thousand years is just a small sliver of that timeline. And God and His plan for humanity placed us here at this time. Satan and his demons also occupy this timeline, this age. But we know that Satan's world is not our goal. That's not where we're going. God's future for us isn't along the path that Satan has chosen. That's not our goal. That's not the path that we want to be on. This age ruled by Satan isn't the norm. Not the normal. Rather, call it an aberration. The term aberration is defined as the act of departing from the right, normal, or usual course, according to dictionary.com. What this age is right now is an aberration on that timeline. Think about this. The way of God has existed eternally. It's always been. The way of God has existed eternally, and it will continue to exist eternally in the future. But the age in which we live, brought on by Satan's sin, is a temporary departure from that. Temporary departure from what God has in mind. It's a detour from what God is doing. It's an aberration. But we know that it's allowed by God for His purpose. But this life, this age in which we live, is really, when you think about it, far from normal. But we're surrounded by it. All of human existence has been purposely placed inside this little sliver of time. 7,000 years, we believe. 7,000 year period of time on this line of eternity. And all of human existence, God has purposely placed inside this little sliver of time to live in this aberration. Why? Well, you know, we're surrounded by it. It's often hard to see it for what it really is. We breathe it every day. We're engulfed by it. Much of what humanity does, often in a twisted way, becomes normal in our society, in our age. We've never known anything else. But we read the scriptures and we understand God's plan when he calls us, and we realize this is far from normal. This is not what God calls normal. What are some of those things today that people consider normal? You can make your own list. I jotted down a few. Listening to a report the other day, the level of crime, for example, in our cities is now considered to be normal. It's just accepted. I heard a stat the other day that Milwaukee recorded its 70th homicide to this point in this year. The other day, its 70th homicide compared to 50 a year ago at this time. Well, 50 is better than 70, but is 50 normal? You know, that 50 people are murdered, city of Milwaukee, by the end of April. We've never known in that city. That's all they've known for years and years, and it barely makes the headline. It's the new normal. What about social media addiction? We in this room have lived long enough to see it fundamentally change society. It really has. And not always for the better. People walk through streets, they walk through hallways, they sit at their table with friends at a restaurant, buried in their phone on social media. That's considered normal for the age we live in today. Hate crimes, political division, that has become normal, the normal condition. Abortion has been in the news to a great degree lately. Abortion on demand is protected by federal law at this point, ever since 1973. You may have read that there have been over 63 million aborted babies in the U.S. since Roe versus Wade in 1973. That's considered normal. Something that irritates us maybe daily, robocalls. You ever get any robocalls on your cell phone or at home? They're considered normal. A tracking company did a study a couple years ago, and they found that in November of 2019, in the U.S., 5 billion robocalls were placed in that 1 month alone. That's more than 160 million a day. That means that a person in the United States was getting an average of 15.3 robocalls a day, according to YouMail. That's normal. These are all things that, and again, you can think of your own list of what people consider normal, and yet, you know, are they really normal in God's eyes? In this blip of time, 6,000 or 7,000 year period of time, compared to eternity, we live in this aberration that is Satan's world, Satan's age. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 4. Notice an offer that Satan made. Luke chapter 4. Familiar count, beginning in verse 1, an amazing confrontation. Luke 4, verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. This amazing confrontation between Satan in Jesus Christ. It was Satan's intention to derail the plan of God by convincing the Messiah, the one who would ultimately rule, take a shortcut. That's really what Satan was doing, a detour from the intended plan. That's what Satan wanted. Notice one segment of this battle going on, verses 5 through 7. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Satan's offer was to give Christ his reign as king right then, so he wouldn't have to wait until time planned by God. a plan that was conceived before the world was ever created. You wouldn't have to wait for God's timing. And notice a key statement in this dialogue in verse 5. It tells us that Satan offered Christ the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Interesting phrase. Apparently, my understanding of that is that Satan was somehow able to show Christ all the world's kingdoms in an instant, that he had the power to do that. But what he couldn't do, he couldn't show Christ the world's kingdoms on the eternal timeline. He couldn't show all of that eternal timeline. All they could do was show Christ the aberration. He couldn't offer Christ rule for all eternity. According to what this says, he could only offer him a reign as king during this detour, this time period, this aberration in time. That's all that he really could offer. Verse 6, for this has been delivered to me. Apparently accurately shows that Satan had been granted this detour. Satan is his world. He's the god of this age. He's being allowed to play it out according to his strategy. Why didn't Christ give in to the temptation that was being offered here? Because he could see the entire line going to eternity in the past and eternity in the future. Christ could see the entire line. He saw the detour for what it was. And he knew that this world would eventually return. This age would eventually end. And the world would return to the path that God intended. And he was content to wait for that. Follow what the Father had in mind and to not take the detour. But we know that Satan hasn't given up. He doesn't give up offering this detour. He still holds it out to tempt humanity today. And so God gives us warning signs about detours. Notice a few of those. Acts 2. We think of Acts 2 verse 38 in the context of repentance and baptism. But read on a little bit. Acts 2 and verse 38. Notice the warning sign that God gives here in Acts 2 verse 38 through 40. Acts 2 verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. It's an aberration. It's a detour, the way this generation is going. Be saved from this perverse generation. How about Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3. Another warning sign, and you can find many others, but look at a few. Colossians 3, and beginning in verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming. It's a warning sign. We don't want to take the detour. We want to stay on the path that protects us from this. Then, of course, 1 Peter 5, the warning sign here, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In this age, on this timeline, there is this aberration, this detour. And Satan is trying to get everyone to follow his detour. He tried to get Christ to follow that detour. Would he do any less to God's people? what he wants. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sober, be vigilant, because there is this Satan the devil still going about creating detours. And finally, 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So God gives us warning signs about these detours that can take us off the path of his plan, and warns us because we realize that Satan didn't tempt just Christ. We all experience his attempts to pull us off the true path, but God's intent is for us to remain steadfast. He's called us to the eternal glory. He's called us out of this world and into true normal. And so we understand, we read the pages of the Bible, you know, we hear a sermon, we read something in the scriptures, we study prophecy, and we realize what true normal is and how much of an aberration this world, this age really is, and how much of a detour Satan has influenced mankind take. We have a better understanding of what true normal is. John 8, verse 44, of course, what Christ said here applies to all humanity. John 8 and verse 44, where he explained, again, more about how this works today and in this sliver of time on the eternal timeline. Christ said this to those who thought otherwise. He said, you are of your father the devil. Verse 44, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan invented this alternative reality almost from the beginning of his rebellion against God. Satan created this alternative, this aberration, this alternative reality, this abnormality. And his goal, again, is to detour us from God's reality, from eternal life. That's what Satan has in mind. We read a little bit more about his efforts in Revelation 12. Let's look at those, Revelation chapter 12. Again, a good reminder. God has opened our minds to the truth of this. God has tried to give us the big picture. We understand more about eternity and what past eternity, what future eternity has been like and is going to be like than those whose minds have not been opened. Revelation 12, let's begin reading in verse 7. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. And these verses show us that Satan's influence has deceived everyone who has ever lived, except for one human being. Everyone has been deceived except for one person, Jesus Christ. We also see here that because Christ was not willing to be sidetracked from the real goal. He was not willing to take the detour that Satan offered, that this aberration is going to come to an end. It is going to come to an end. Everyone who has ever been born, who has ever lived and died in this life, in this sliver of time, going back several thousand years, will have the opportunity to overcome Satan and return to the real timeline that stretches on to eternity in the future. And that's what God has in mind for all human beings, to no longer be fooled. Just like in the song Detour, all of us have chosen the wrong path from time to time, but because God's mercy and His grace, the detour is almost at an end. We don't know how long, but the detour that Satan has provided is almost at an end. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 for a moment. Why did God place us at this point in His timeline? Why did God do that at this point? Think about eternity in the past and eternity in the future and this small period of time for human life. We read in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. God started teaching humanity from the very beginning what His reality was like, how to live in His reality. And when you think about it, what was this one tree that God told us, them, us, not to eat? We call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but what is that really? What it comes down to is, for Adam and Eve, it was a detour sign. God said, don't take this detour, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't choose that, that alternate, a different reality. That's really what it was, an alternate reality. In effect, Satan was telling humanity and continues today to say, what do you want your aberration to be? What would you like your aberration to be? You have the ability to make it happen. You can make it happen. You can do exactly what I did, Satan tells us. You can choose and decide for yourself what good and evil is. He was telling Adam and Eve, you can decide for yourself what good and evil is. That is, you can decide what normal is. And that's the path that most human beings have taken. Decide for them what's normal. Live together before being married? Well, that's normal now. And on it goes. And you know what? We can do that. Or rather, it seems we can. But that was the choice that Satan was actually offering Christ as well during the temptation. He was offering Christ the opportunity. You decide what's normal. You can be king now, and that will be the normal for your lifetime. But again, Christ saw eternity, and He knew the entire plan of God. In Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5, Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan told Adam and Eve, and he continues to tell us today, that if we follow him off the path, here, take this detour, we're going to understand true reality. Satan's reality, Satan's normal, but that was and is a lie. We're not going to understand reality. We're going to be detoured if we follow that reasoning and Satan's line of reasoning. So, what's in store for us? If we're patient and we wait on God's plan, what does God say He has in store for us? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we begin here in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. What's in store for us if we're patient, we wait on God's plan as Christ did, and are not fooled by the detour that Satan has to offer us? 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Drew Johnson is going through 1 John right now and also 2 John and FI, and just outstanding Bible study, really excellent. Verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God, now. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This makes sense. We have only known this world, this age. So seeing the timeline from God's perspective is beyond human understanding unless we have the help of God's Holy Spirit. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we know that there's another day coming, and we get a glimpse of that true reality that the future holds. It says, we will see him as he is. What a tremendous blessing awaits the people of God who endure, who don't take the detours, the wrong detours, but a tremendous blessing to see him as he is. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. With this hope, it says we're to be purifying ourselves, because one day we do that, and we faithfully do that, we will finally see the true reality in its fullness, the reality that stretches beyond this age on that eternal timeline into the future. Verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Christ came to remove the obstacle that is keeping us from seeing the true reality, and that is sin. If we sin, we lose our focus on genuine reality. And the context of these verses and other verses in John talk about sin in the sense of practicing a sinful way of life as opposed to trying to overcome. Sinning, repenting, asking God's forgiveness, and then going on. We don't practice the way of sin. And as a result, we have a better understanding of the true reality that God is offering. We can see, we get a glimpse of what God is giving to us. We lose our focus on that, well then we lose our focus on genuine reality, what God has offered us. Verse 7 and 8, little children, let no one deceive you. There's another one of those warning signs. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins or practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Christ came to defeat Satan for this purpose, to destroy Satan's works, his detour, to destroy Satan's aberration on this timeline of eternity, to destroy all that Satan has done. So with that in mind, let's conclude with more words from the Apostle John back in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we read in beginning in verse 15. We're reminded, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, this aberration, this departure from normal, from God's normal. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's not God's reality. And the world is passing away. And that tells us this is not, that's the world as it is today is not the reality. On that timeline that stretches in the past and in the future, this is just aberration. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This world, with its detours away from God's way, is coming to an end. And when we are faced with choices, with life's choices, when we see the detour sign, then we have to remember to look at the entire timeline and keep in focus what God is doing, the entire plan that he has in mind for all mankind and our part in it at this time. And that's, I think, that can help us in those choices. We stay focused on the eternal timeline of what God is doing. I thought this was an interesting quote that says, "Never view obstacles in your path as the enemy. Rather, view any obstacles as detour signs to avoid pitfalls." View obstacles as detour signs to avoid pitfalls. We all are going to face choices. And signs lead us in one direction or the other. Will the detour signs we see as we go through life lead us toward an aberration, Satan's aberration, Satan's normal, or will the signs we see lead us toward eternal life? Well, again, that depends on us because the choice is ours. And God has given us free will to make those choices. But be sure to see things, especially again when we face important decisions, to look at the entire timeline, what God is doing in our lives now, and what his plan for the future is for each of his children.